Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today we're in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. Yesterday, well, we heard Jesus say that we should persevere in prayer and that God is not a jerk. It's kind of how I interpreted it anyway. That's what I heard in the passage yesterday. And Jesus continues. So if you remember, Jesus was asked about praying, and so he's telling the disciples about praying. And so that was sort of done, and we ended there yesterday. Now we move on to a new episode, and it's an intriguing one for me. Anyway, we'll see what you think. I don't think I'm going to say much more than that. We'll just jump in. It's Luke 11, 14 to 28. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the one who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." And others to test him kept demanding from him a sign from heaven. But he knew what they were thinking and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself becomes a desert, and house falls on house. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out the demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I cast out the demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your exorcists cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his castle, his property is safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overpowers him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it wanders through waterless regions looking for a resting place, but not finding any, it says, "I'll return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. And then it goes and it brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and live there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. While he was saying this, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." And he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Well, let me start at the back, because I love that moment. I suppose a woman in the crowd just blurts out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." It's just a spontaneous, thank God you're here. You are amazing. You are wonderful. What a gift you are. Your mother must be holy that you are such. It's that kind of just exuberance. And I love how Jesus takes that and just turns it and says, yes, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Yeah, blessed me, absolutely, but blessed everybody. And if you've done any of these meditations with me in the past, you know how I feel about the word blessed. To be blessed is not simply to receive God's love, but to share it, to translate it, to be seen by God and to share God. That's what it is to be blessed. So when she says, blessed are you, blessed is your mother, because you are such that your mother must be blessed as the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. Jesus basically says, yeah, but not just me, and not just my mom, but you too, all of you. I really appreciate how Jesus takes these takes things and gives them back to us. It's very tempting to make Jesus a superhero. And we often do that. A lot of the hymns we sing, the way we talk about Jesus as the victor over death, and then we take him as Jesus beats everything, right? Jesus defeats all of our problems. Jesus defeats all the evils of the world. All we really have to do is pay allegiance to him, and boom, we're good. And in fairness, earlier in this passage, we hear Jesus say, whoever's not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. And you go, wow, you see, you got to be with Jesus. You want to be on the winning side. Jesus wins. But every time somebody wants to say, Jesus, you're the greatest, Jesus seems to turn it around and say, yes, but blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. To me, it's a very very positive way to say, no, this is on you too. This isn't just about me. This is about all of us. As you hear me and as you recognize God in me and follow that will, then we're actually getting something done. If we just sit around waiting, you know, for God to flow out of me, then we're going to wait a while, because it's got to happen with all of us. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. I don't think Jesus is admonishing this woman. I don't think that Jesus is knocking his mom. He's just taking the opportunity to say, no, this is about all of us. And it is. Now the tougher part. if I could just stay there, I could preach that passage. But now we're talking about possessions and demons and Beelzebul and... Oh, okay. So there's often confusion. Typically, we would use Satan, Beelzebub, synonymously, right? Even Lucifer, which really isn't in our Gospels, is certainly built up more in later tradition. But are they the same? Yes. No. I guess it really depends on what you believe about demons and the devil. I find it very difficult to just look at someone and say, no, there is no devil, there's no evil in the world, it's just our lack of compassion, our mistake. I want to say that, I want to believe that, and yet there are things that happen in the world that just seem so fundamentally wrong. And I lack the capacity to understand how somebody could do those things. And so I have to say, yeah, so there must be evil in the world, because I don't understand how somebody could do horrible things like that unless supernaturally manipulated. But that might be my lack of understanding. That might be my lack of knowledge. If so, I share it with the folks who wrote this. I share it with, you know, the people 2,000 years ago. I share it with people today. You know, they too could see horrible things happen. And how do you describe this? How can somebody be a dispassionate mass murderer? How can somebody enjoy the pain of somebody else? How that must be, that's got to be evil, surely. Because I don't understand how it's possible otherwise. Now, there are neuroscientists, psychologists, and people who go, and they come up with, well, this is what's happening here, this is what's happening here, and there's this genetic thing here, and there's this, you know, environmental thing here, and they'll go through all that stuff, and they'll sort of plot it all out, and I still look at that and go, well, wait a minute, so that person had no choice but to be horrific? Well, that's got to be evil then. Because there's got to be some force in the world that's just... So evil is tricky. Evil is tricky. It's tricky now. It was tricky then. Couple that with people who were suffering in such a way that they didn't have the medical knowledge to diagnose what was happening with somebody who might be epileptic or neurodiverse. Who might be suffering, you know, from a disease that causes convulsions, tetanus, like who knows? And so demons sort of come into play. So there's evil and stuff goes on where people are suffering and we don't know how to manage it. So we've got demons and then we have evil. Now, within that, we have different traditions. So I think you've heard me say before that I'm not convinced that the tradition that gives us Satan is necessarily about an evil creature. Satan is the adversary. Satan is that voice in my head that always says, yeah, but what if? Yeah, what if you just drove into traffic? But what if you just jumped off? You know, I don't know if you've ever had that. I've had that moment. I'm sitting, you know, standing in a balcony. Of somebody's apartment way up high, 15, 20 stories up. And I can be quite mesmerized. And there's the little part in my voice in my head going, what it would feel like if you just jumped out. I don't do it, but my imagination does that. As I'm about to do a good thing, there can be a little voice in my head saying, yeah, what if you didn't do that? You know, and I believe it actually helps me make good, clear, intentional decisions. So I don't see it as an enemy. I see it as an adversary, the other voice. And so Satan, the serpent in the garden, we relate that to Satan. That's the other voice going, well, God said don't eat the apple, but why not? Like, why not? I recognize that voice. You know, Satan tempts Jesus and says, I know you got stuff to do, but why not just turn stones into bread, then he won't be hungry. Why not? I get the why not voice. So I don't necessarily see that demonic tradition as evil. Now, Beelzebub, lots of theories about where that comes from, but Beelzebub is basically Canaanite. Related to Baal worship, you remember the prophet and the battle, Elijah and the battle against the prophets of Baal and the fires and, yeah, maybe you don't. Anyway, there were two very strong traditions going on. There was the God of Abraham and there was Baal, a fertility god. And out of that culture, we get Beelzebub or Beelzebub or Beelzebub. But, you know, again, we're using an English translation from the Greek, from the Hebrew, which is actually translating something Canaanite. So, so So the origins of Beelzebul are not the same as Satan, but they become sort of the same thing. So we're going to call our great enemy, we're going to name our great enemy after one of our great enemies, right? And Israel had some significant enemies. The Philistines were enemies, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Canaanites. Okay, so so basically, Beelzebul is from the Canaanites. At least that's where the name comes from. Lucifer, trickier, but Nebuchadnezzar was called Son of the Morning, and Lucifer is Morning Star, and so it seems like maybe sort of the Lucifer story started to come out of the Babylonian tradition. So again, we'll name this great evil after one of our enemies, you know, or take it from one of our enemies. I don't know that any of this matters. What we're saying is there is evil out there. We don't understand why or how, and we don't always get if it's evil or just an adversarial voice. The voice of doubt, is doubt evil? Doubt leads to faith for me. And as I say, that alternative voice helps me make better decisions. But then there are things that go on there. And by the way, there are things that happen to us personally where we might do something. We know it's wrong. We knew it was wrong before we did it. We knew it was wrong while we did it. We definitely knew it was wrong after. Or maybe we thought it was right until we did it. And we go, oh my God, that's wrong. And we wonder, how could we have done such a thing? Oh, the devil made me do it. The devil, Lucifer, Beelzebul, Satan. All the same and yet coming from different origins, because I think what we have here are writers, people, communities dealing with the question of evil and how do we manage it. Now, functionally at the time as well, there were exorcists. There were Jewish exorcists. There were pagan exorcists who went around casting out demons. One of the traditions would be you could get rid of a demon if you could get its name. If you name it, you own it. So someone was possessed. If you could get them to say their name of the demon possessing them, that disempowered the demon and they could be exorcised and driven out. So the story goes. So yeah, we hear about Jesus casting out a demon that was mute, which means the person's not speaking. The demon's not speaking, so we're not getting the demon's name. So how do you have control over the demon? Jesus seems to be doing this even without the name. And when they see the demon driven out, even though the name has not been spoken, they are amazed. So basically, Jesus is exercising differently and better than the others. And they go, oh, whoa, how did he do? He must already know the name. He's casting out demons by Beelzebul. The power he's getting is an evil power, not a good power. And there may be discerning folk who are thinking that, going, wait a minute, he didn't name him. He didn't get the name spoken, so therefore he must already know the name. Therefore, he must be in league with the evil one. In this case, we're talking Beelzebul. And others watched this happen. It says, and they were asking, demanding for a sign. Come on, prove to us that you're good, that you're from God. And it seems to me that Jesus then says, oh, could you just, people, just use your reason for a moment? Come on, people, don't act stupid. Think about this. If I'm evil, how is it that I am getting rid of evil? Because a house divided against itself falls apart. You don't. Evil people don't go around defeating evil people, because then evil can't thrive. Right? So he's buying into that idea that there's evil out there trying to get us. At least that's the way it's being told. And so that we do invoke Satan. So this is why, one of the reasons we would use these words, these names, synonymously. He casts out demons by Beelzebul, and then Jesus says, if Satan's divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. Satan and Beelzebul, synonyms, but not. And now we start to say, okay, so Satan is in charge, and then Beelzebul is like lieutenant, second in command, one of great authority within this group. And now we're then over the next few centuries till we get today, we'll develop a whole organization of evil creatures. And so the Beelzebul will take his place, Lucifer will, Satan and the devil are the same. Like, we do all of that. Again, I'm not invested in that. That doesn't mean anything to me. What I hear is people struggling with evil. And what Jesus is saying is, come on, think about this for a second. If I'm evil, how does it make sense that I'm going around getting rid of evil? And the flip side of that, I would think, if they're listening to that, is, so if you're a good person, why are you going after good people? Because a house divided cannot stand against itself. Right? He says, you know, if a strong man comes and he knocks down the armor. And I mean, I hear people read this and so Jesus is talking about himself, right? So, if the finger of God that I cast, if it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. There you go. See, here I am. Got it. When a strong man fully armed guards his castle, his property is safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away his armor in which he was trusted and divides his plunder. And so people say, see, Jesus is the stronger man. The devil is the strong man. Jesus is the stronger man. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Or what we're talking about here is the ongoing struggle. Here we're making it a battle, and a dramatic battle. But it's a battle struggle we go through personally, and we go through as a community. You know, if we are united, we can stand together. If we are divided against ourselves, we will fall apart. That's the reality of it. So whoever's, you know, not with me says is against me. We need to be in this together. I mean, look at me. If I'm evil, but I'm attacking evil, well, then evil's going to fall apart, right? But if I'm good and you're attacking me, then we're also going to fall apart. The good, our community, our faith, our hope, all of that, if we are coming after each other. So whether Jesus is the stronger man or the strong man, or the community is strong, but there's stronger, and the stronger is when we doubt each other, when we attack each other. And boy, I recognize that. I do recognize that. I see that happen. I see us attack each other and weaken ourselves. We think we're strengthening our position, but we're actually weakening our position. I see it happening in the world I live in right now. I see it happen in other countries. I see it happen in my country. I see it happen in my community. I see it happen in my church. I don't mean my congregation itself, but I mean my broader church, where we start fighting with each other, not accepting not accepting what I think is the truth, that we don't all have to be on the same page to do good together. No, you need to do good the way we do good, and if not, then you're doing evil. That's what I hear happening. That's what I hear happening in politics. You know, we have this perspective, you have that perspective. Your perspective is evil. And so we're going to push ours. And the best way for us to do that is to wipe you out. And now a house is divided against itself. Humanity is divided against itself. Instead of being able to say, we have a perspective, you have a perspective, let's struggle with this. And wherever we end up, let's hope and pray and believe that that's the best place. And then we're going to struggle over something else. And so your perspective might dominate this decision, but my perspective might dominate the next decision. And together but that to me is what Jesus is talking about, strong and stronger. This is just about battling. And And then he goes on to give what strikes me as wisdom, almost Dr. Phil kind of wisdom, but still pretty good wisdom. He goes on to say, okay, so when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, so whatever motivated you to do the bad thing is gone. You don't do it anymore. Gone. And it says, you know, and this image, so it wanders through the waterless regions looking for a resting place, but not finding any. He says, I'll go home. I'll go where I was. So it'll come back to you. It's basically saying it comes back and finds that you've swept everything clean. All that evil is gone. But you're still an empty shell. And so then it'll go get seven other demons, even worse than it is, and then they'll all come together. But I think what Jesus is trying to say is that it's not enough for us to simply stop doing bad things. I gave the political example. It's not enough for us to stop attacking the other side. We also have to learn how to appreciate the other side. It's not enough to drive out the devil. My friends would say you need to then bring Jesus into your heart. You don't want to be empty because you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So, you know, if you clear yourself out and leave it empty, the devil's going to come back. That's what they would say. Well, I would say if you stop doing these bad things, these things that some people might say, oh my gosh, you're possessed. Or you might think to yourself, the devil made me do that. You stop doing those things, but don't find other things to do. You will soon fall back into those bad things. I could be talking about addiction. I could be talking about abusive relationships. I could be talking about all sort of greed. I could talk about dieting, all sorts of things. And we know that anybody who's ever sort of try to lose weight by saying, well, you know what, I'm just going to stop eating, or I'm just going to eat less forever. Unless you come up with a system, it works for a period of time, you lose a little bit of weight, but then there's no lifestyle, there's nothing that's fit in there. You need to replace this thing that's not good for you with this thing that is good. I need to move from hating you to tolerating you, and then I got to move to appreciating you, loving you, or your perspective, right? You can't just leave it empty, because if you leave it empty, it comes back. I can say that is true when we talk about addictions. For many, 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 many people, it comes back unless you fill yourself with something else, whether that's meetings, friendships, community, people, but you got to have something. A dear friend of mine said to me quite earnestly just the other day, Norm, what am I going to do when I retire? We're all getting towards that age, and he's ready to retire, but he's afraid that he won't have anything to do. And I get what he's saying. You know, I need a thing. I need a purpose. I need a reason. And simply no longer being addicted isn't a reason. No longer going to work isn't enough. No longer being a bad guy, that's not enough. I also need to be a good guy. I need to be the guy who invests my time into this project or that aspiration. I need to be the person who is not defined by my addictions or my previous life. I need to be someone who has a full life here and now. That to me is what Jesus is saying. And you see, none of that for me has to involve an evil entity, an embodiment of evil. Just because there is Jesus, I don't need an antichrist. Just because there is God, I personally don't need a devil. But others would say, no. For there to be yang, there must be yin. For there to be darkness, there must be light. For there to be light, there must be darkness. You know, we do all these things in contrast. I don't know about that. I recognize the wisdom in it. And I continue to struggle with evil. I'm just not always sure about the personification of evil. Anyway, I haven't solved anything, but I have wondered, and I hope I've given you something to think about. So I'm going to give it a rest and offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for opportunity, safe space to wonder without ever reaching conclusion, perhaps, but to engage in questions of evil and faith, love and hope. God, we ask that in our wonderings today, we ask that we hear your voice, that we are drawn to your voice, not the contrary, but to your voice, and that as we follow, we grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough for me today, but I wish you a fantastic weekend. Have a terrific weekend. I really do hope you get out there and wonder. I hope you wonder. I hope you feel the presence of God's love in your life. And I hope that you recognize that you're blessed, that love doesn't just come to you, but it moves through you into the world. You are blessed, and I thank you for being you. The world is better because of you. That's the truth. So keep loving, and I look forward to seeing you on Monday. Till I get to see you. God bless.